John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The text for the evening is in John chapter 19. We'll read verses 28 and 29. I know we covered 28 last week, but it does continue a thought through verse 29. So verse 28, John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and that's soured wine. And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And we'll read the first part of the 30th verse. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So we do want to see that he did receive the vinegar. This evening, we'll be speaking of vinegar. That's the title of the message, vinegar. And it looks like at first glance that there's really not a whole lot to grab a hold on to in verses 28 and 29. Concerning the vinegar itself, but there really is. Some commentators, they write that this vinegar was, yes, it was a soured wine, but it was something that the Roman soldiers would use to appetite themselves with, that they actually enjoyed it. It was something that they had on hand to drink. But the closer we look at this, we would see that it was no comfort, it was no help, it was no solace, it was nothing dear, it was nothing merciful about this vinegar that they were giving him. We would understand this verse, especially John chapter 19, verse 29, if we ask ourselves, what saith the scriptures concerning this vinegar? Well, a companion verse, if you want to mark in John chapter 19, verse 29, write down right next to it Psalm 69, and we'll read verses 16 through 21. So these verses in the psalm describe the very vinegar that Jesus did take and receive in our passage, in the text there. So please read along with me in Psalm chapter 16, or excuse me, chapter 69, the 69th psalm, verses 16 through 21. It says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Does that sound like a pitiful or an act of pity that these people, the enemies, in the first context here, when David is writing this, as he's saying that his enemies are taking care unto him and trying to comfort him or restore him in any ways, are his enemies meeting his needs in any way? And we can obviously say no. So we can see here then that this vinegar that the Lord Jesus Christ was given. And if you keep your place in John and also there in Psalm 69, we're going to run a parallel here and see exactly what this vinegar involved for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some literal aspects of this vinegar that we can get a hold of, but there's also a lot of spiritual application that we can get a hold of here as well. So first, again, read our text with us, John chapter 19. And verse 29, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. As we look back in Psalm 69, the first thing that we can think, that we can obviously see from this vinegar drink, this soured wine, is that in verse 16, he says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy mercies. The first thing that we can see is it's a beggar's drink. And as the Lord Jesus Christ did drink this vinegar, or had it put in his mouth, he had just said in the verse before, "I thirst," he's actively paying for the sins of his people. Now apply that to the knowledge that you know it's a beggar's drink. This drink that he was giving, he thirsted and he was given this beggar's drink. He was begging for the faithfulness and the loving kindness of God, but by man was given this beggar's drink. He was begging for the goodness of God, it says in Psalm 69, verse 16. "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness, it is good." Yeah, he's begging for the goodness of God, and yet received this beggar's drink. He's begging here. He said, "Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy mercies." He's begging for the mercies and compassion of God, and yet still here receives this beggar's drink. Everything at all that the sinner deserves. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering, and that's what he was given, both literally and figuratively, there at Calvary. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about those that are poor and those that are depleted, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those that do come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are indeed. If you have experienced salvation, you also have experienced a beggarly attitude toward God. And you're begging indeed for his loving kindness, his faithfulness. You're begging for his goodness. And you would be begging for his compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ taking the place of his people, he did suffer under that beggar's drink. You also see that the drink that he had there, of that vinegar, it was a troubled drink. Look at Psalm 69, again, as you're going down through the psalm, just going straight in order there through Psalm chapter 69 and verse 17, "And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. I am distressed." It was a troubled drink that they gave him. And the drink itself did not relieve him of his troubles. In fact, I submit to you that it made his symptoms worse. It made him all the worse for wear, you could say, in the body, which is a picture that the work of man, and maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves, that the work of man cannot satisfy the wrath of God, nor can it satisfy those things that man feels under the intensities of knowing that they are a sinner and undone, a beggar before God. This drink cannot at all ease that trouble. He was troubled because he was hidden from the face of God. Look again in verse 17. Hide not thy face from thy servant. Why would he say that? Because he perceived that the face of God had been hidden from him. Now, David, it's inescapable. He was always a child of God. He was saved in time, but in the mind of God, he was always a sheep. But David was a sinner, and you know, as sinners, sometimes we might have the perception that God is not near. Well, God's omnipresent. He's always near. Those that are truly troubled in their sins, they desire the face of God. They desire to, and they seek after the righteousness of the face of God, the presence of God. And he's suffering for sin, and his thirsting in this drink of vinegar. It was a drink that he had that was a very troubled drink, for he was troubled being judged for the sins of his people. It didn't help his trouble, and it did not remove anything beggarly about him. What has this drink eased so far? Nothing. Hasn't eased anything. You see also in verse 17, it's an urgent drink. "Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am troubled. Hear me speedily." You see that? When he's suffering, when the Lord Jesus Christ is suffering for the sins of his people, he being God, he knows the providence. And just before last week when we studied in verse 28, we saw it says in verse 28, after this, that he knows the sequences and he knows the order and he knows all things that are going to happen in this thing, in this process, in the work of salvation that he is accomplishing there at Calvary. But nonetheless, this drink that he has drank, it has a sense of urgency upon the Lord. And if it has a sense of urgency upon the Lord, then certainly our sin children of God, should have an urgency upon us. If you're not troubled in an urgent sense over your sins, then I would ask you to ask the Lord to urgently trouble you, that you would sense the urgency there to call upon the Lord and urgently cry out that he would be near. But that was the sense there of this drink. As he's given this vinegar to drink, he cries with this, and it's an urgent drink. He cries urgently in the matter. In John chapter 19, verse 28, we studied last week, he said, "I thirst," and it seems like that he cried out most urgently that he was in a thirst. And he most urgently and asked speedily that he would have something quenched, his thirst quenched. If you look at Luke chapter 16, that man, that rich man that went into the, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, what was of the first things he asked for? He asked for water. He thirsted. It was an urgent matter to come and relieve that torment of that flame that he had. This vinegar, it was an urgent drink. It was also a drink from an enemy's drink. Look at Psalm chapter 69 and verse 18. "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it, deliver me because of mine enemies." Now, we can see that the Romans were the enemies of the Jews, and they were the Romans, the enemies of most everybody in the world at that time. We can also see that the Jews at that time were the enemies of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ even cried out to the Lord, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They were enemies. But while he was drinking this drink, he was also an enemy of God, because he was suffering for the enemies of God and literally taking our place as the enemy. So yes, he was an enemy of the people, but he was also at this time an enemy of God. Well, how in the world can you say that? That is exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. Please turn over there. "Deliver me from mine enemies," he said in Psalm 69. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. He says in verses 6 through 10, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." What's the ungodly? What is that? Well, that's me. I'm ungodly. I'm against God. In my natural condition, I am anti-Christ. That's who I am, is ungodly. And Christ died for me. If Christ died for you, you cannot get around the fact that you are ungodly by birth. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die." And that "for" indicates substitution, in the place of. But God commended his love toward us, who? The ungodly, in that while we were yet sinners, ungodly, and enemies, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Well, who does God have wrath on? His enemies, the ungodly, sinners. "For if when we were" what? "Enemies." Christ became an enemy of God, and suffered at the hands and the body. In the body he was handled by wicked sinners, by his enemies, but he became an enemy of God. And this vinegar, this drinking of vinegar, displays that as you look back in Psalm chapter 69. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son becoming an enemy, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved through his life." So yes, this vinegar, it was indeed an enemy's drink. This enemy, this son of God who became the enemy of God for the enemies of God in their place, in this cry, in this distress cry, because of the enemies, he says, "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it." Draw nigh, come near, deliver me, rescue me. Well, that's the cry of the enemy of God. Save me from myself. And when the enemy of God realizes that the biggest enemy of God is not Satan or someone else, but I am the man, I am the enemy against God, then in similar fashion, the enemy of God will cry out for redemption, and that the Lord would save them and draw nigh and deliver them from their enemies. You can see here, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as he drank this vinegar, this vinegar is very vivid of the station that the Lord Jesus Christ took for his people. It's also very vivid of the position that a sinner takes before God in their salvation. There's similar responses before God, acknowledging that indeed we do deserve the wrath of God. This vinegar was also a reproachful or scornful or shameful or dishonorable or disgraceful or insulting drink. Look, if you would, there in Psalm 69, verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Well, who would really like to drink that drink? Again, working this issue backwards, if you're a child of God, then you have experienced verses 19 and the first part of 20 there, and you have experienced that because you yourself are the adversary of God. Your reproach before God had come before your soul, and your shame before God, and your dishonor before God, and you see yourself as the enemy of God, and a reproach, and your broken-hearted soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His separation there, in relationship before God, while the Father turned His back on the Son, and He there suffered for the cause of sin, he experienced that very shameful and scornful drink, that drink of shame. He did that before God. He did that before man. In Matthew chapter 27, you can see as these things are taking place what his own creation was saying to him. Matthew chapter 27, in verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, that thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if ye will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And I believe that's John chapter 19, verse 28 is included in that. That's when he cried out, I thirst. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, yes, he would have thirsted during that time. Some of them that stood by when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed or a stick so they could reach it up and gave him to drink. That's the context here. So, if yes, you see the shame and the reproach and the dishonor he had before God as he was paying for sin, undeniable. But also this same drink, this vinegar drink, was a drink of shame and reproach, even in the flesh. These people wagging their heads as they passed by. This drink was nothing to be looked forward to. This drink was nothing that someone would envy. It was a heartbreaking drink. We read that in Psalm 69 and verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart. A heartbroken drink. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, heartbroken. Well, how could that be? Well, in the gospel, it does record that he was very heavy and he was depressed and he was low. Matthew chapter 27, I believe, records that. 26, that is. Depressed and low. Yes, spiritually, it was a depressing thing. Physically, yes, he was beaten beyond the visage. His face was beaten more than any other man. He's unrecognizable as a man. Emotionally, yes, he was very heavily emotionally involved here with this drink. I believe that is where you have the depression, also the anxiety, also the agony that he was in at Gethsemane, even before this came into play. You have one in the flesh. Yes, he was God, but he was still in the flesh, and he was one who hadn't eaten anything, hadn't drank anything but this vinegar, and hadn't slept all night, and here he is. He was spent, heartbroken. When I used to work night shifts, and Joe remembers this, on the third day, I'd work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And on the third day, I was just an emotional mess. I would cry on the way to work. I would cry at work. I would cry on the way home. And it would take me a day or so just to resettle. Whenever you, when you're stressed like that, you do become more emotional. And yes, this is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's also a man that has a heart. And he said in Psalm 69, read it again in verse 20, "Reproach hath broken my heart." The reproach of God, the reproach of man. I submit to you that the reproach of God is exponentially and infinitely greater than the reproach of man, but the reproach of man was there. He experienced both. You see this drink in Psalm 69, verse 20, if you keep reading, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity." This is a pitiless drink. You know, these Roman soldiers, they weren't taking pity on him. They weren't trying to relieve him at all. Some would say that the gall actually had some properties to it that it would stop bleeding and kind of help with the healing process so they could linger while they were being crucified, which doesn't make sense if the Jews were in a hurry to get him dead. Others would submit that it was true that the vinegar mingled with gall had a bit of an anesthetic in it, and we're maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves, trying to numb him a little bit, but that would also so they could use him for some kind of plaything and antagonize him with pain. But this pitiless drink, it was pitilessness from man, yes, but also it's a direct indication that God judged the Lord Jesus Christ in a pitiless way. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that should be terrifying. You've heard that expression, pulling punches. Like, if you're going to hit somebody, you kind of pull some off of it. Well, the God Almighty did not pull any punches when he judged Jesus Christ for sin. He didn't pull any punches at all. In fact, if you want to look in Revelation chapter 14, The same judgment that is described unto these, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied. This is what he experienced. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." He didn't pull any punches. It was a pitiless cup that the Lord Jesus Christ drank of the wrath of God. There was no mercy in it. There was no withdrawal. There was no, okay, then you're my son, so I'm going to let you off easy on this thing. He suffered the poured out wrath of God without mixture in the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, in suffering in the place of his people and suffering for sin, he suffered the fire and brimstone of the wrath of God that was so deserving to his people. Child of God, this ought to make you shout for joy that you deserve the pitiless cup of God and his wrath, and the Lord Jesus Christ drank it for you. It also should cause us to a deep regret and remorse of our own selves, that knowing that of ourselves we have nothing to offer God but a pitiless, rank, horrid desire to satisfy our own lust rather than to submit to the righteousness of God. Here they are handling God Almighty, and they are promoting themselves, promoting their government, promoting their cause, promoting the righteousness or self-righteousness of the Jews, and showing a pitilessness unto holiness and righteousness. There you have it. You see here a comfortless drink. In Psalm 69 and verse 20, Psalm 69 and verse 20, he says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none." Again, there was no pity taken. "And for comforters," those that would relieve, those that would help, "but I found none." This cup of vinegar, it was no help. It only hurt. It was no help. It only added to the problem. It didn't take away any of the problem. Any kind of soured wine, I would submit to you, let me rephrase this, any type of effort to assist God in salvation is as this soured wine. It's as vinegar. It brings no comfort. It brings no help. All it does is make things worse. You can throw in there a baptism for salvation, walking an aisle for salvation, whispering in some preacher's ear for salvation, bowing five times into the east, and whatever else thing you want to do, repeating different things and chants and whatever. All these things are comfortless for salvation. What did bring satisfaction and comfort and salvation, we'll get to, Lord willing, next time. In verse 30, he cried out, "It is finished." Well, the "it is finished" is not the vinegar, and "it is finished" is not anything that man had done. The "it is finished," the comforting thing in the gospel, is that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. That's the comfort. This vinegar, this soured wine, is no help at all in comfort to the soul. It didn't help the Lord any, and it certainly won't help anything like it. It will not help a sinful man in the presence of God, in the face of God. You see here in Psalm 69, verse 21, the first part, "They gave me also gall for my meat." But what is gall? It's venom, is what it is. It's poison. Okay, it can be used as a medication, and there's an awful lot of medications out there that are poisons. They really are. People use and abuse medications all day long, and just because something is prescribed or it's allowable by the state law doesn't mean it's okay. This gall was indeed venom, and it was poison. But also, if you want to look in Matthew chapter 27, if you look in Matthew chapter 27, you'll see a differentiation here between just the straight vinegar that the Lord did receive and the vinegar that he first declined. I don't know if you've seen this before or not. Matthew chapter 27, he did first decline another drink. Matthew 27 and verse 34. It says, "They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. He spit it out." So this gall, this vinegar, this gall that's mixed with the vinegar, it's like an anesthetic. You know, you go to the dentist and they give you a little shot to numb everything. That's an anesthetic. You know, you go for a surgery and they have you breathe the stuff in that mask. That's an anesthetic. You don't feel the pain. And give you, Jill had an epidural for the kids. They put that thing in there. They put medicine in. It's an anesthetic. You don't feel anything from the waist or so down. It's a numbing agent. It's an anesthetic. Some people use alcohol as an anesthetic so they can feel numb or whatever the case. But when he drank of this, or when he tasted of it, he would not drink it. He would not take it. He spit it out, verse 34 says. So what does that tell us? The very best of man's anesthetic is useless before God. Jesus Christ himself spit it out. So drinking this vinegar, this soured wine, which speaks of his beggarliness in the moment, paying for sin, his troubledness, his urgency, that he was an enemy before God for his people. He was a reproach before God and man. And he was in a place of heartbrokenness, having no pity from God or man. He was comforted, not by God or man, comfortless. And now man offers him an anesthetic to ease his suffering before God, and it's useless. People try to anesthetize themselves before God all the time. "Oh yeah, I'm a good person. Oh yeah, I do this, I do that." Well, these anesthetics are useless before God. You know, we're studying through Exodus. He didn't say, "When I see the anesthetic, I will pass over you." He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." You cannot anesthetize yourself to be pleasing in the sight of God. You cannot anesthetize yourself so that you will now be permissible and alleviated of the wrath of God in any way. There is no anesthetic that can relieve God's wrath. There is no anesthetic that can do away with the sinfulness of man before God. Could man really give the Lord Jesus Christ gall and it satisfy God himself? There is no way. There is no shot at all of that. The best efforts of man to appease God's wrath are futile. It's not possible that man can anesthetize himself. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, he shows us that and will not receive it in Matthew chapter 27. You see this drink as a providential drink. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 48, we did read, "And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink." So that's the one that had gall on it. Excuse me, in chapter 27 and verse 34 had gall. This one in 48 had no gall, which is the same instance that we read in John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. And it's the same instance that is prophesied of in Psalm chapter 69, verses 16 through 21. David, it's a messianic psalm, but David was writing about his personal experiences here also. But it is prophetic. You see these things. Providentially, the Lord Jesus Christ must have had that drink to satisfy God's wrath and at the hands of wicked sinners. You notice the providence of this drink? You can start tearing apart all the details of it. Go back to the text in John chapter 19, if you would. John chapter 19, verse 29. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar." It was set. It was put in a particular place. Right? There were many vessels, probably, because they had had many crucifixions along the way. They might have had a vessel for each person being crucified. I don't know. They could have had one vessel for all three being crucified. I don't know. But this vessel was made of some clay, pulled out of some dirt, made by some hands, crafted at some time, and brought to this set place with this set stuff in it. And it was brought there by a particular providential person. You talk about the particulars of salvation and the providence. Sometimes these little details we kind of overlook. And while this isn't the most important thing in the world, there's a lot of details in our lives that are, I would tell you that every detail in your life is providenced by God. Every meeting that you have, everywhere you go, every sin that Christ had to pay for on your behalf, every good work you're ordained to is providentially declared in the halls of eternity by God. So, and it's witnessed in this passage that there was a vessel set full of vinegar. Full. Not half, not some. It was poured out of somewhere and it was given somehow. But this amount, this very amount in this vessel by a particular person in this place was all ordained providentially in the mind of God, and in time it took place. Just as much as it was the providence of God that Jesus would suffer for sinners, it was providence by God that those four men would cast lots for all the stuff of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this vessel would be set there. It says also the providential drink that the Lord had. "Now there was set a vessel," in chapter 19, verse 29. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar." Now, where did they get this sponge? You know, a sponge is a living thing that you got to cut out and move with it. Where did they get this sponge? The hyssop in another place is called. Where did they get it? Who made it? Who crafted it? Who retrieved it? Who did all that stuff? Who found the reed? Who cut it? Who put the reed? And it says, they filled a sponge. Well, who are they? It wasn't the mass multitude. It was a they. It was a particular they. All these things in the providential mind of God. Was this part of the they that when he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do"? May have well been. The they, those vague personal pronouns, we can talk about we's and they's and all this type of thing, but I believe in the mind of God, these people, whether they're sinners saved by grace or they're reprobate burning in hell right now, they are particularly known in the mind of God as whatever they are. They, providential. They could not have escaped that day. Whoever they was or whoever they were, was they were providentially in a particular place at that time. But most importantly, this providential drink, you have the providential effect of it, okay? Look in Matthew again. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And they took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. So you can look back and say, well, yes, this was a troubled drink, and it was an urgent drink, and it was an enemy's drink. It was a heartbroken drink. He saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And even a little further, it fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this, what? Cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, it's talking about the literal saving of his people, taking the wrath of God upon himself, but he expresses it as a drink. It's a providential drink. Not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he did. He drank the cup of the wrath of God, just like we read earlier in Revelation chapter 14. And drinking this cup, he satisfied God's wrath. In drinking this cup in Isaiah chapter 53, now it wasn't the cup, the vinegar, it wasn't the vinegar that man gave him that satisfied God's wrath, but that vinegar, that soil, or that soured wine is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ was going through there under God's wrath. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise or crush him. He hath put him to grief. Well, now shall make his soul an offering for sin. I believe that's when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe that's that sixth hour to the ninth of darkness. I believe it's when he cried out, I thirst. He made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When did he do that? Again, I believe it's during that 3 hours of darkness, during that time when he so thirsted, during that time when he drank of the wrath of God, during that time when those sinful men, when he cried out, I thirst, in his agonies under the wrath of God, they took that sponge or that hyssop and they put it on a reed and stuck it in his mouth, and he drank it without mixture, he drank it without anesthetic. He took it, and it clearly pictures the sinfulness of man, the vileness of man, the comfortlessness of man, the pitilessness of man, the wrath of God upon the just for the unjust. And it shows how that God Almighty, Jesus Christ in the flesh, justified and saved his people. Not because of what man could do, but in spite of what man could do. And it's all to God, for God's people and to God's pleasure. Again, it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord. It was satisfying to the Lord. It brought pleasure to God that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. This drink of vinegar, it pictures so much. It does. It pictures so much. It's quite a drink. It really is. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people like, you know, their sea salt and vinegar and potato chips or whatever. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a truly disgusting and vile thing that pictures what the Lord Jesus Christ did for his people. Thank God that he drank this. I thank God that I'll never have to drink anything like this. Because he drank it before God. In God's wrath, he drank this day for me. I will never drink it. That's what we studied it last week. In John chapter 4, he said, you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. You have everlasting waters. This drink didn't satisfy. Jesus Christ, the living water, satisfies. Thank God. Thank God Jesus Christ drank such things on my behalf. Well, sinner, let me ask you this. Do you see yourself as a beggar before God? If Jesus Christ, suffering for sinners, was a beggar before God, I would encourage you, by the power of God, to see yourself as a beggar. Do you see yourself as troubled? Well, if you don't, you should. If God in the flesh was troubled before the presence of God for sin, you ought to be troubled. Do you see yourself in a place of urgency? You better. Tick, 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 tick. There goes life. Then one day, well, everybody at some point wakes up dead unless they are raptured, which we haven't experienced yet. There's conflict whether or not Elijah or Enoch, if they died in the translation, I don't know. I wasn't there. Urgency. Oh, I've got all the time in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ showed urgency when he was found in such a place with such a drink before God. Do you see yourself as an enemy, having enemies? Oh, if God is your enemy, you got an enemy. There's no friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a friend can be had like unto him, but outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of God. When the Lord became an enemy of God, it truly did trouble him. It truly did create distress in him. Do you see yourself as a reproach before God? It's one thing to be reproached among men. You can handle that. But being reproached before God, knowing you're as nothing, knowing you're vile and disgraceful, dishonorable and shameful, and in every way insulting unto God to be in his very presence, you're insulting to God. Do you see yourself in such a way? Are you heartbroken? That's where Lord Jesus Christ was. In his drink, he was heartbroken. Do you beg for pity? For if there is pity to be had, it is from God Almighty alone. My pity will not help you. No one else's will. Only the pity of God can save your unworthy soul in the work of Christ. Are you looking for comforts? Are you looking for ways to satisfy yourself, make yourself rested? There's no comfort. There's no comforters. There's no comfort except that Jesus Christ died for your sin. There was a man that had barns, and he said, I'm going to pull this stuff down and build bigger ones. And the Lord said, thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. No comfort and riches. Do you see your anesthetic of sin being rejected by God? You see, everybody's got their own little anesthetic that they use before God. I've got lots of friends. I've got lots of neighbors. I'm well off in the community. Nobody has anything bad to say about me. I've been promoted in my job. All these different things. All anesthetics. I can't be that bad. There's a lot much worse. I've seen it on the news. I'm religious. I go to church. I tithe twice a week. So says that man in the Gospel of Luke as he prayed with himself. There's a lot of anesthetics out there. They're all rejected by God, and they're all, everyone, unhelpful. Wasn't the anesthetic? We covered that. The anesthetic was rejected by God. He spit it out. Do you see yourself as one only helped by the providential and effective work of Jesus Christ? That is the only help. This providential drink, all the other aspects of this drink, they can be appreciated, but the finer point of this whole thing is that Jesus, dying for sinners, drank the cup. He drank the drink that we deserve, and he satisfied the wrath of God. That's pretty great. That's pretty great. But he's the only one that can help. There's no one else that can help. There's no one else that can drink that cup and then cry out with a loud voice, "It is finished." You die in your sins, you'll forever be a beggar, troubled, urgently crying out for a drop of water as an enemy of God, reproached before God with brokenheartedness, always begging for pity, always comfortless. always being judged for your sin, without mixture, without anesthetic. You see the Lord Jesus Christ as your help. You see Him as the only one who can help, the only one that can satisfy God's wrath. You cry out unto Him. Who did the psalmist cry out to? Psalm 69, verse 16. Hear me, O Lord. Not hear me, O Jesse, his dad. No, not hear me, O Solomon, the picture of Jesus Christ there. Not hear me, O high priest, who was a man who went in year by year. Hear me, O Lord. See yourself as one that can only be helped by Jesus Christ and His satisfactory, His acceptable work at Calvary. It was providential. It was effective. It was personal. He saved His people from their sins. You see an appreciation here for the vinegar. Vinegar, you keep it in your house. The picture here of what was going on. See what the Lord Jesus Christ did there in Psalm 69, verses 16 through 21. Sinner, I encourage you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. There's no help otherwise. Child of God, I encourage you to admire the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He has done for you. In every possible way, in every way you're a beggar, He became one for you. In every way you're troubled, He became more troubled for you. In every way you were urgent before God for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ in urgency performed your salvation work. In every way you're an enemy, He became an enemy to God for you. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for or in substitution of the ungodly. In every way you're a reproach and unacceptable before God, Jesus Christ became that, satisfying God's wrath. In every way you've been brokenhearted, the Lord Jesus Christ, even the more, satisfying the wrath of God. And as you see yourself as a sinner undone, thanks be to God that He did give you that hope in His death, burial, and resurrection. In every way you were begging for pity, He did give you pity. In every way you begged for comfort and compassion, none can be so compassionate as the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. You talk about ultimate anesthetics or pain reliever. Well, there's none so great as Jesus Christ and His blood. And by His blood, He has redeemed us out of every kindred and nation and tongue and tribe and has made us kings and priests unto God. What does an anesthetic do? It numbs you from pain and sorrow. What are we going to be free from in the world to come? Pain and sorrow and tears and remorses and agonies and all those things that sin bring in. You want help. You've been helped. When the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, that's exactly what He did at Calvary. He gave us rest. He gave us help. He gave us comfort. He gave us pity. He relieved us of all of our eternal troubles. Most of the time in my life when I have the most trouble and the most heartache is when I do not call to mind what precious thing the Lord Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. What can be so great that would minimize what He did for me? That vinegar, that drink, what a drink He drank on my behalf. Thank God. May the Lord bless the preaching of His word.